Mothers, we're going to honor you today because you deserve it. What an honor, what a privilege it is to be the mother of a child. But I'm going to speak to every woman in this church because we are all women of God. And God puts something in us that everyone else needs. So I'm going to read a couple scriptures and then we're going to, I'm just going to minister a little bit and then we're going to make way again for the presence of God. And you know, I kind of believe that the presence of God could mess you up even when I'm preaching. I believe God can do something so supernaturally as we listen to the word of God. I pray that something will spring forth in you, male or female. Your day is coming, guys, just real soon, and we're going to honor you because you deserve to be honored. But today is Women's Day, and we're going to talk about God's women because God really loved his women. And Jesus went out of his way to make sure that the women knew that they were loved. No matter where they came from, where they lived, what kind of living that they made to survive, he still loved them. And he showed us through his word. And so today, again, he's reminding us. I texted Nick last night, and I said, Nick, because usually I have all kinds of scriptures, lots and lots of scriptures. I just do. That's kind of me. And I tried to do message all week long, and I would end up having to go back to bed. And I struggled. So yesterday, it took us 12 hours to get home. And I spent all that time trying to write in the computer that bounced and met me here and there. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all. And when I got home, I think my husband was tired of me, and I think Max was tired of me. I was tired of the car. But praise God, about 10 o'clock we got it finished. I told Becky, I said, sorry, I'm running behind. I told Nick, I said, I don't have very many scriptures today. I'll quote a few. And he said, well, if you get any, it doesn't matter. Just get them to me. I only got one more, but I didn't send it. So I really am not preaching a false gospel because I don't have a lot of scriptures today. Because the scriptures that we have are very powerful. Matthew 13:33. The title of this message is Until I Arose. A mother of Israel. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive, that it's breathing. And today as we minister, I thank you that there will be a rise of your women, your mothers, your daughters will arise and heed the call and answer the call for this time in our land, in our homes, that we will be the women that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 13:33 says, this was Jesus and he was speaking another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven. We wonder, people say, well, if you preach on the kingdom of heaven, what does it mean? What does the kingdom of heaven mean? What is it? I hear you talk about, but what is it? Well, Jesus is saying to his disciples here, it's like the yeast that a woman takes to make bread. Now, I promise you, I don't do yeast and bread anymore. The last time we did it, Pastor did most of it. We had a bread machine. And when we got tired of that, and we don't do that no more either, it's easy to break out. We like David's bread, you know. It's easy to put in the toaster. It's got lots of multigrains in it and so on and so forth, you know. Anyway, but the yeast, if you happen to use yeast, women, and bake, I know that one lady in here knows for sure, and that's Dara. But she took, and she mixes it into a large amount of flour. Until it works through the dough. In other words, she takes that ingredient until it works through the dough. The ingredients that God has for us, for the kingdom of God, is like the yeast that is worked through the dough to make a loaf of bread, to make something that someone else wants to eat. That's what God wants to do with each one of us. He wants to make us into something that other people, when they come in contact with us, they want what we have. It's very important that we understand they want what we have. And if we don't have anything worth somebody wanting, then maybe today we'll go back and we'll say, God, forgive me, because I want the kingdom of God to work in and through me. And then Judges 5, 6, verses 6 and 7. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took the winding paths. Villages in Israel would not fight. It's interesting here. I think the writer of Judges saying that the highways were so abandoned because it was unsafe to travel, because the enemy had rose up so much and was tormenting, having his way. Evil was seemingly winning at this time. So villagers or travelers would have to go miles and miles out of their way on dangerous winding roads that they should never have had to go around and over. But because of the threat of the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, do you know that the devil will inconvenience your life? You're being inconvenienced and you don't even know it's him. You're agitated and you're aggravated and you can point it somewhere, but you're not pointing it in the right direction. Because there's an enemy that wants to keep you from the path, that the highway that God wants you to travel on. And the highway that God wants you to travel on isn't mad. It isn't sad. The kingdom of God is full of joy. It's full of power in the Holy Ghost. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They were terrified. The giants, that mountain that stood in the way, but that song said it so well this morning. The mountain stands in the way, and there is a rising up of God's people, God's women, that's going to say, mountain, get out of my way. You may be a mountain, but you move. They held back until I, Deborah, arose. We have a Deborah in the house today, and I love you, and this message is a lot about you, Miss Debbie. I arose until I rose. It was said twice. Until I, Darlene, arise or arose. Till I, Teresa, arise, arose. A mother of Israel. She took her place. She rose with determination. Deborah was a prophetess and a judge. And a little story here. I encourage all of you to read chapters 3, 4, and 5 for sure, because it's such a wonderful story. But she was a prophetess and judge, and she could be found regularly. She would sit under a particular palm tree. And they actually named the tree after her, the Palm of Deborah. Israelites, they would line up and they would seek counsel with her. And the Lord would give her revelation and would give her wisdom to speak into their lives. When we arise in the Lord, we will have some wisdom of God to begin to speak out of our mouth to people. And it won't be in anger. It won't be in feeling sorry for ourselves. It will be for no other reason than because the kingdom of God is alive and well. And we're speaking what he says. The people of Israel had been paralyzed until someone arose, until someone. The world is looking wherever you go and wherever you're at. The world is looking for someone to arise. The Israelites would come to her, and her location was between Ramah and Bethel. Ramoth means the ascending heights. Bethel means the house of God or the presence of God. So she would sit between the ascending heights, and she would sit between there and the presence or the house of God. She positioned herself so that she had easy access to him, to his knowledge, to his wisdom. And there's a little bit of a backstory to chapter 5 that I think that we have to be reminded of, and you might really enjoy. Deborah, the Lord spoke to her also, and she spoke to Barak what God had said. And Barak, which was a military leader at the time, and God said, if you go down, I'll give you victory. And and he said to Deborah, as she prophesied, if she spoke that wisdom, he said, I won't go without you. And so they went together. It's a fascinating story. And great victory is won in this. And so as I was thinking about all week, God, what do you want me to minister? Deborah kept coming up. And I was like, go back and read, again and again about Deborah. But I believe that when I began to think about that, I began to think about the women of Solid Rock. We are so blessed in this church with so many beautiful, beautiful women and mothers that pray for their children, mothers that stand in the gap for their home. And so I'm going to preach about the women of Solid Rock today, and because I want to show you that sitting in your mess, in your midst, there's some heroes of faith sitting in this house. Now, a whole lot of them that I wrote their names down are not here today, but they're still heroes. And I may have missed some of you, but if I did, it was not intentional. So I have a disclaimer written at the bottom of my notes that says, I may have missed your name, but not intentional. I'm just getting a little older. So will you all accept that one? All right, thank you. Thank you. And I believe that hopefully the men will go home more in love and more inspired and uplifted about the kingdom of God living in your home through your wife, and through your church. And I believe that maybe all of us can leave here thinking a little bit different about the kingdom of God and how it works and what it means in our life. We have so many biblical examples of Christian women, of God warriors, of women that we look back at their lives and we read and we get hope and we get strength from them. They were put in there for purpose, just like we have so many books of the Bible that are about the men of God. But the women that we read about in the Word of God, they're powerful, they're tenacious, but the women at Solid Rock, I believe we have some powerful, tenacious women. And I've been here long enough, I've lived long enough in life and been here long enough that I've been privileged to watch so many of you grow. So statue and also in the presence of God, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And what a joy that it has been. I've taught years about the women in the Bible. But I see in our midst women that have stood the test of time and won great victories in your lives. I believe that there's so many here that are history makers. Every one of us can be a history maker. We can change the course of our lives. We can change the course of our family's lives. We can be a legacy. Remember Eunice and Lois and Timothy talked about them, because they made such an impression upon little Timothy when he was a little bitty boy. And my grandson Corey reminds me of that all the time, that because he always says, Eunice and Lois, mama and grandma, well, that's what you are like to me. And that's what we should be to those around us. That's a little bit of the kingdom of God. There are those that we're in the process of becoming great history makers, writing story through your everyday life, and that's what you're doing. I've seen some of you bewildered and hurt and frustrated, but still so determined to be godlike. There are a few of you that were just little girls when I started ministering here. Missy was just a real young teenager, and Sarah, and there's just a lot of them, so I'll shut up right now because I am getting older. But so many of you have children of your own. I may not mention all your names, but don't be angry, but place yourself with some of these powerful women that we're going to mention, because you are worthy of the Hall of Fame. You are worthy in Mother's Hall of Fame. You are worthy to be there no matter what your background is. Because if you are a woman of God and you are determined and create to be what He called you to be. I look at my baby Tiffany, who has grown up to be such a powerful young woman. And I can still say young because she'll always be young to me. She has grace that astounds me, and it impresses me. She's very impressive. She gets up here and she gets a microphone for 30 seconds and something comes out of her mouth and I'm like, where'd that come from? You know, how can she be so quick? The older I get, my mind is blessed in Jesus' name. My mind is blessed. I have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. And amen. That's the truth. She's lived her life with a lot of adverse situations from the time she was a little girl. But yet she has so much wisdom. And when she speaks, I'm amazed. Mama listens. But you don't have to tell her that. I watch her with Miracle Max and marvel at her motherhood and how great and natural she is at being a mother. And there were times I know she wondered, just like some of you have wondered, am I being a good mama? Am I any good at this? God didn't send us anything with special instructions just for you with your children. He said He left the same manual for all of them. Everyone. The one that's easy, the one that's middle, kind of easy, and the one that is not easy at all. The same manual works. But it takes a lot more digging for some than it does for the other, and that's the truth. But I see powerful ministry in her now. And in her future, as well as right now, but in her future, probably one of the heads of a Hall of Fame somewhere. I've seen her hiding and protecting Max from the evil things of the world, like the mother of Moses did. We all know that story. In our midst, we have women that have been handed death sentences. There's nothing that I can do for you. When a lawyer says, I can't help you out, I can't help your child, I don't know what to do. I've seen mothers go through really hard times. But they've learned how to take their promises back to the promise giver. Don't ever be discouraged by the news you get about your child. Don't ever think your child is unfixable. Don't let the devil lie to you like that. We just give our children back to the promiser, to the giver of life. We put them back in His hands. And we learn to say, all is well. I'm at rest. I'm at peace because I gave my child back. They may be acting like a fool, but God, you know that. And you also told me if I would pray for them that they'd return to their borders, the God of their youth. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep on pressing on because you created them and we keep on. The Shunammite woman has impressed me so much. And I was glad you said that this morning when you looked up, all is well. Because when we learn we can be hit hard with life. We can get really hard hit. And we have to enter into a rest that's hard. We labor into that rest. But that's that presence of God that we can't live without. That's the kingdom of God that brings our righteousness. That's the kingdom of God that will help us to love even in very hard situations. That's the presence of God. That's where we can say all is well. Because I'm in that place. I'm staying in that place. She's a Hall of Famer, the Shunammite woman, even though Hebrews 11 didn't list her. But I'm sure she was in all the others, you know, because and all the others, after all the names, I believe that includes us too. Amen. Rhonda, I've watched her faith and her tenacity grow when the enemy tried to steal and kill her husband before he was saved. And I've watched her stand strong and believing for his healing and believing for her children. I've watched her through the years. I've watched Missy grow into a powerful woman that has learned to praise God in the midst of storms of life. And like David of old, she took out a pen and she began to write from her heart songs that are memorials to the faithfulness of God. Kind of like when Miriam was called, get your timbrel out, Miriam. Get it out. We can't let things hang forever. We can't put our gifts and our talents on a tree and sit and weep and weep and weep because things aren't working out the way we thought they would work out. But Missy, over and over, has got her pen back out and began to write songs of worship and praise that has brought and is bringing her and is bringing us into the presence of God. She helps us send praise and worship first into the battle. We send our worship. We send our praise first. In this house, we have some Hannahs. We literally have a Hannah here today. The Hannah that I was going to talk about knew how to pray. The Hannahs, don't have to have the name Hannah, but there is something always behind the name. Hannah knew how to pray, and she knew how to believe God. In her deepest, darkest time, she was found in the presence of God. Hannah, the Spirit of the Lord would say to you that this generation needs you. They need a young, strong woman of God, a daughter that knows who she is and who she belongs to. God wants to use you. He's put his anointing upon you. You know that. And it's hard because we hear so many voices and we hear so much of so much pull that pulls on us. But what God has planned for you, anything that's offered outside of his plan is going to take up your times and your energies. But God will not take away his call. It'll be there, just like the Israelites, but you don't want to die in the wilderness. And you don't want to take forever to say, yes, Lord. Because God is going to raise up some young women and men, and he's going to push them to the front. He's going to do it, Hannah. He wants to have his Hannahs doing what God has called them to do. That's not planned. That's not. I'll go this way. Thank you, Father Soltok. I think of powerful women like Bonnie Weekly, who, oh my goodness, I've told you before, the enemy would have destroyed me coming into this church 40 years ago. I had baggage. I had so much baggage. I was so much hurt when I came in this place. But God sent me here. That little woman would tell me over and over how much she loved me. And that God had a purpose. You're the best thing that ever happened to Daryl Rhodes. Thank you for saying that, because you finally got me to believing it. Now I know I'm the very best thing that ever happened to him outside of Jesus. I know that, but you would tell me over and over again. And she was the one person I could tell her everything. Never condemned, never looked at me different, but encouraged me and prayed for me. I think of powerful women like Darlene Rubel, Lynn Jourdain, Rhonda Turnbull, Laverne, Brenda Fatchett, Becky Ferris. Women that know how to pour out their heart before God. I could keep naming and naming, but I'm still going to miss them. And there's some powerful young women, too, that have an audience with God. Hannah, get an audience with God. Lauren, get an audience with God. Because when you know that when you pray, I am so confident that when I pray, he hears my prayer. I am confident of that. I know that he hears me when I pray. And we can approach the throne room boldly because we've got a relationship. He hears us. And not only does he hear us, but he answers us. And we can trust that he does. It might not be on my timetable, but it's always early enough. It's always on time. Always, always, always. The kingdom of God is all around us. Sometimes we don't see and we don't hear what God is doing. And we seem to always look back into the past. Or into the future, God's gonna, God did-a. But no, God's doing. God is doing today. I believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. I believe that God's kingdom wants to work in this church like we've never seen it before. I have one prayer. God, let your people feel the presence of you on this parking lot. Let them walk through those doors and they feel your presence. Let them come into the sanctuary and they begin to worship you. Let them feel your presence. They're so hurt, so excited, such a hurry to get into the house of God, because they want to meet you, oh God. They want your presence. Holy Ghost, we want your presence in this house. That's my prayer, and I have an audience with him, and I'm believing with all my heart. Yesterday, Carissa sent us a little, we were on the road, and she sent us this little video. It was so quick. Of the worship team that were at prayer service yesterday. When I opened that up, the Spirit of God rose up within me, and I could do nothing but weep. And I was like, oh, the presence of God is there. The presence of God is there. He that hungers and thirsts after his rightness. When we hunger and thirst after his rightness, the things that's out here that we think are our problems. No, he said, give it to me. Let me have the last words. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I took care of the enemy. I'll take care of this. You don't have to vindicate yourself with anybody. I'm sorry if I said something to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry if I don't act the way you think. But know my heart. That God is our vindicator. I can't make excuses for what I've done. And I would not. I would have said I'm sorry if I know. I even say sometimes I'm sorry when I don't know. That's what we need to do. But we all need to get to that place where we want to be in the presence of God. I see women here that are like Deborah the judge. They've had to learn to deal with people, hard people in life. We should all have to work with some difficult people. We should have to not be the only difficult person. We need to grow up so that we can deal with difficult people, right? Difficult people need love too. And we all need a Judas in our life. We need more than one or two Judases in our life. Judas's are betrayals. They break our hearts. But they grow us up better than anything else we'll ever come in contact with. If we'll understand how to handle Judas. Jesus showed us how to handle Judas. You sit and eat bread with him. And you still give him opportunity after opportunity. We all need to learn how to handle. Because God will give us wisdom on how to handle difficult people. Deborah was sitting and there were difficult people that were coming to her. You know they were. They were coming with every situation you could think of. And from morning to evening. But you and I need to get to the place where we aren't the difficult problem. We need to grow up enough that we can help handle and give good words to people. Encouraging words to them. Thus says the Lord, words from them. I think of women of action. I think of Sarah and Krista and Christy and Tiffany and Jennifer and Christina and Tracy Proctor. I love these women. I love the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons. That basically, sons of God, in other words, it's saying they are the mature ones of God. Isn't that something? I want to be a mature one of God, don't you? I don't want to get my feelings hurt all the time. I don't want to be into me. And we all get there sometime, but we don't get stuck. Let's move on out of me into him. Amen. But I love the peacemakers, mature ones of God. They believe the best in everyone. Doesn't it wear you out to be around somebody that can't believe the best? Because it takes 10 sentences before they can ever get to the good, if they ever get there. But they can point out in 30 seconds everything they see negative about a situation. Nothing wears me out any more than a person that doesn't see the goodness of God in other people. But when I think of mature ones, I think of, there's more, but I'm going to just say it, Edna. Edna's not a troublemaker. She's a peacemaker. I've watched them. And Dara. Dara's a peacemaker. Very much so. Carla's a peacemaker. There's a whole bunch more. I need to quit looking. These women are a coolness under stress of life. Don't fall apart just because trouble knocks. I was thinking about our women. We have a lot more mature ones than we have immature. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we all get off kilter. We all, you know, every once in a while, I'm like, who are you? Talk to me. Who are you? What's wrong with you today? Have you ever done that to yourself? Surely you have. I don't feel just right. Probably because I'm not just right. But you know what? I can get it right. Amen. Becky Franklin. I've watched her go through a lot of situations. Now, I understand that when she was younger, she was something else. She was in the hospital for a long time, and my goodness, girl, they just told everything. What a trooper. What a woman of God. It's just so, isn't it something what God can do to and through his women? I have to mention, she's not here, but she's there. But I was thinking about Mary, because I got to watch her grow. When Mary, I first met her, I met her in the hospital. I was having some surgery done. I had heard about Mary, and I heard that she didn't like me. She was one of those that was making me gray in my 30s. I didn't even know her, but she hated me anyhow. This is a true story. She would have told you, yes, 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 true, 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 because that's how she felt. Those of that you knew Mary, she just said what she thought until she learned different. Well, I don't know if she ever learned that. But she got herself in trouble a lot because she talked too much. But she, if she were here today, she'd say amen to that. But I watched Mary, and she learned how to overcome disappointments of life and failures of life by serving other people. And she was such a server. She was a true handmaiden to me. I missed her. She raised those sons by herself, even though she made a lot of mistakes, was disobedient in many areas, lost her eldest son way too young. But she still understood that the promises of God were still for her. Mary was a history maker, just like Bonnie, a hall famer. Mary, they knew her in Armenia. They knew her in Ukraine. They knew her in the Republic of Georgia through her serving, one who served. Mary, a mother of Israel, arose, and she left her mark. She left her mark. Women of God, when we arise and we do what God's called to us, we are leaving our mark. We're leaving our history. Oh, we may have been a lot of things, but there's only one thing that matters, is what are we going to settle on? You can't undo yesterday, but we can all start today. The Word of God is full of stories, great stories of great women. So it's solid rock. I think of the faithful women who continually show up at post of duties and their commitment to do. Some of them, you will never see them in the spotlight or hear from them. But they're always here. They're always faithful. The kingdom of God is working them. The fruit of the Spirit is operating in their lives as they serve God and as they serve us. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Mary went away. She left Linda and Alice in charge of breakfast, you know. I see Alice Cole buying donuts every week. Linda making waffles and teaching CR. Allie has joined them on Sundays. See, Becky Fair is faithful to sign services every week for the deaf. Even though there may be only one or two that watches, she hasn't stopped, she hasn't quit. Because it's something much greater. If we only preach to one that's in this house, that one can become a missionary that's going to touch somebody else's life that may be an evangelist in places of the world you and I would never go, but all it takes is that one. Jennifer, our nurse recorder, coordinator, and our CR chef every week. Have you ever seen any of the coffee shop crew around here? They facilitate morning breakfast on Sunday morning to bless you so that you can fellowship and not have to fix breakfast for your kids at church or at home if you don't want to. They want to help you with a little time of fellowship. Carla and Jamie and Christina and Allie. Who? How about Wednesday night? Faithful crew. Robin, Tracy, Proctor, who donates food regularly. Peggy, our dessert warrior, donates weekly. Yeah, Linda. Debbie Williams. Karen Jensen's been coming in on Wednesday, making salads. Warriors. People, whether it's greeting, hospitality, nursery, praise and worship, children's ministry, WAW projects, preparing for and serving our community, you show up. Teresa Blake, Lori Slope, Teresa Gorley, Terry Osborne, Darlene Rubel, Peggy Ferris. Who did I miss? There's more, I know. This is not just any group of women, but they are those who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I'm wondering about many whose lives tell us about how the word is working in and through them. There's many that of us that had got sidetracked by life, hit hard, and the devil tries to count them out. Robin, Becky Franklin, Tammy Lindsay, Brenda Fatchett, Bonna Weekly, Susan, her daughter, Jennifer, Missy, Elaine, Miranda, Marge, Cindy Sellers. On and on and on. Ben Givens sends us that don't sound good. But the devil thought they were out, but they're still alive. Those who keep getting up when life knocks them down. I think of Chris and Lashley. I already had this written down. Do you think I forgot Chris? Oh, I'm trying not to forget anybody, but we'll see. I'm not done yet. Got a lot more names in here. I think I got most of you. The others, I love you. I want to give you a hug afterwards. Who has a spirit of a worshiper on her. And I say this. I've stood on the platform with some. I've never stood on a platform with someone so talented. Without absolutely no diva attitude in her. But a cheerleader for all of us around. 100%. 100%. You got a good girl and you better take good care of her. You better protect her. Because the enemy, if he got a hold of her, he'd take her talent and use it for the world. But we're not going to let that happen. But there's a spirit of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. When that spirit of the kingdom of God is upon us, we don't compete. If you feel competitive and jealous, then just have a little talk with Jesus. God, I need to make it right because I ain't right. I want to live in the kingdom. I want to make others, a great person will make others look greater than them. True story. We'll brag on the others because we see something in them that maybe somebody else is overlooking or they don't even know about themselves. Because sometimes people can shrink back when there's greatness around them, but a great person will help them come forward. As long as you stay humble, there's no end to what God wants to do. I know it's not been an easy journey, your life. It hasn't been for anybody. Let's face it, life just stinks sometimes. But oh, God is good. What we've learned in our times, in our journeys. But you are a Hall of Famer. Some of the Hall of Famers aren't known too well to some of you yet. But hang around and get to know them. It's hard for us to know everybody. It really is, you know, to get to know. And so sometimes we meet them for a little while, for 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or five, and something happens and we think they don't like us or we don't like them. Get over our pretty self. Pretty ugly self. Get over it. But they're Hall of Famers. They've been through something. You just haven't heard their story yet. Tammy Marks. Hall of Famer. I know she got up a while ago. I don't think she's feeling too well. Is Tammy not feeling well this morning? Okay. Tammy Marks. Tracy Johnson. Tammy Gray. Marge. Pam Cunningham. Linda Priest. Susan Brene. Yvonne. Not here today. Tammy Stewart. Linda House, Alice Wright, Sandy Papalardo, Lisa Looney, Jane Siebert, not here this morning, Kaylee Dollins, I don't think she's here this morning, Pam, Josh Durkee's mom, Connie Dawes, Melissa Stevens, Johnny Johnson, Terry Carr, Kathy Anderson, Jackie Hartley, just to name a few. Some of these Hall of Famers have had recent losses, painful stings of life going on. We honor those that are watching today. Happy Mother's Day to you, Hall of Famer. We have some of our young moms who are warriors for their children, who love God and want their children to love and serve in the house of the Lord. It's real hard to preach this, so it's good on my voice the way we're doing it. It's working out real fine. I think of our Christina Gober. What a mama. Think of her. And Dana, I didn't have your name down, but I'm so glad you're here today. You are a mighty woman of God. I love you and I honor you. Think of Tabitha with Walter. Evelyn. Think of Kendra and her baby boys. Stephanie. Angela. Sydney Johnson. Abby. Mamas. Shamae. Rachel Medeiros, Susan Adair, unbelievable fight for her children after losing one child to death. Patty Daly, a mother who never gives up. Women in Solid Rock's Hall of Fame. I think of our Sarah when she was somewhere around 25. She was working toward being a really great hairdresser because this girl's good on colors. I mean, she's colored me everything you can think since she came around. I've been redhead. I've been green hair. I've been three or four, five, six hairs. Not quite as much as Alice. But I have been colorful thanks to Sarah. I've been told over and over in airports, and Daryl, tell you the truth. So many times, I love your hair. Where do you get your hair done? It's like, thank you. You wouldn't know them. They asked me why, at different places I go. I said, it's a secret. I can't tell you. But God called her for such a time as this. Minding her own business, just a young, beautiful girl like Hannah and Lauren sitting back there. Minding their own business, got their own plans for life. And one day the Spirit of God dropped into Pastor and I's heart. We were trying to find a children's church pastor online and everything that came up. And we always have believed that God will raise what you need in the house. But we couldn't find anybody because we weren't seeing and we weren't hearing. On our way to St. Louis, I remembered as sure as anything, I looked over at him and I'm like this. He don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. When I think about it, it comes out. How about Sarah? Sarah Ratt. What about Sarah? I said, how about Sarah as our children's pastor? And instead of him saying, well, I don't know that she went, he didn't say that. He said, yeah, what about Sarah? Call her, find out if she's interested. Just like that. That's how God calls. So how quick are we to say yes when God calls? She came in and talked with her, interviewed her, and she sat like this the whole time. I'm not kidding you. Am I kidding you, people that knew Sarah? Absolutely. Everything on her show. Well, I'll talk to Nick. Yeah. What will I be doing? Well, Sarah, I don't really know. Haven't figured it out yet. But I believe that God wants us to give you the opportunity. And, it was real. Wow. And she really was. It was torture on her, torture to watch. But yet I was so excited. And so she came back. I don't remember when. She sat back down and she was still doing the same thing. She shook. And she said, Nick says, yeah, I talked to him. Yeah. Well, when do you want me to start? When? And she did, and I named her when she first started. Remember, who was the secretary? Mrs. Wiggins, because Mrs. Wiggins about climbed over the desk every time the phone rang. She didn't even know who that was, but that's who she was. But I'm telling you, the power of God has been on that woman, and God has raised her up, and she's now the head of our student ministries. But she answered the call at a time just like Esther did. If I perish in children's church, I'm going to perish. But yes, you can count on me. She had already been working in children's church. She was already a Hall of Famer. Some of you, you just don't know it, but you've already been. God wants to use us. He doesn't want us sitting on the sidelines. He wants us to get in and get involved in his kingdom. I thought about Carol Thurman. She's not here, but hopefully she'll listen. At midlife, she decides there was a mountain to take, and she was going to do it. And she got her master's degree and become a counselor right in middle life. You know, it's interesting. And we're not talking about guys, so I can't mention Lou. But what she did tells us that no matter where we're at in life, God can still use us. My goodness, God's wanting to use me more now than he ever has. And I won't ask him if he remembers my age anymore, because he got on to me for that one. Because I asked him one time, don't you know how old I am? And he's like, you going to laugh, Sarah? You know, So it doesn't matter how old we are. When God wants to use us and he gives us the health and the strength to do it, we better be doing it, because I'm telling you, it's the joy ride of life. It's the kingdom of life. How about Jessica Norman, who just a few short years ago had no idea that you'd be running a successful shirt shop? Who would have ever thunk it? But it's just been such a joy to watch you grow spiritually, emotionally, and talents and gifts that God's got in you. A lot, girl, a lot. Our very own Krista said yes to the plan of God. And he keeps surprising her every day. I just want you to see that warrior, that Hall of Famer that's going to the bathroom. Turn around. Hey, Tammy, walk this way and wave. Hall of Famer. A miracle that the enemy tried to take out time and time again. I was watching her. My goodness, they did. She almost lost her leg. I mean, literally. And then she was she's walking back, doing her own thing back there. You go, girl, go on. May the force be with you. But Carissa said yes to the plan of God. He keeps surprising her every day. She's a Hall of Famer. Our Hall of Famers are mothers and grandmothers. Many didn't give birth to their own children. But they are strong examples of women of God with a heart after what God loves. God loves children. And the devil hates them, and he tries every generation to get rid of them. And it takes strong women. I am so grateful to be in a mama to my three beautiful children and my two beautiful bonus daughters. Five children. I am so blessed. Our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. But I had no idea God was going to bless me to be a spiritual mama to so many children. It's the sweetest words that I ever hear is mama, even in other countries. God loves and he honors his daughters. May I remind you today to never look at what you don't have, but start looking at what you do have. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Some of us could easily, at some time in our life, and maybe some here today, can identify with Luke chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet her hair with tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. This was a woman with a past. The Bible says an especially wicked sinner. Isn't it something that Jesus put in the Word of God? The especially wicked sinners. Especially wicked. But she came and she said, I'm going to humble myself today and I'm going to worship the Lord. She knew it was a risk when she went to that Pharisee's house. She knew it was a risk when she broke open the oil and she began to wash the feet of Jesus. She knew it was a risk. It's a risk to serve Jesus. But we need to, women of God, to be evangelists everywhere we go. Telling. May I tell you what Jesus did for me? I got to meet one of the sweetest ladies Friday night. For several years, we've been staying in her condo. And over the years, she just loves on me. I love on her. Found out she was a Christian. We've just talked back and forth. And she drove 5 hours. She wanted to come and meet me before I left. She walked in the door and she threw her arms around me. And she hugged me so tight and I hugged her back. Never seen her before, never laid eyes on her before. We talked for over 2 hours about the goodness of God and the love of God. Everywhere we go, the kingdom of God wants to operate and work in our lives. Many here can be identified with the woman at the well, maybe, or the woman with the issue of blood. Or how about the woman that was bent over, bound for 18 years? These were nameless women. So many women in the Bible, they didn't have a name. Did you notice that? Nameless women. Syrophoenician woman. The woman at the well, a Samaritan. On and on and on, you know. Issue. They were identified by their issues. The enemy wants to identify you by your issue. But each one of them had an encounter with Jesus that changed their lives, changed the history, changed the history book that we read all the time and that we love. Nameless, but their stories of a woman who dared to rise up when Jesus made contact. To rise up and be made whole. I see the women in this house. Who the Word of God is working. He's doing his very best to get the yeast in the dough. So it can do the proper work. Kingdom of God is like a woman that took. Women, we got to take something. The gospel. What God, our testimony. And we begin to weave that into our lives. The goodness of God and who He is. Begin to weave that. To get the yeast in the dough to do its proper job, it takes a lot of praying, a lot of working. Kneading, it's painful to the dough and even to us sometimes. But when it's completed and it goes into the fire, it's good to partake of. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took. And mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Maybe some of you are feeling that you fall short of being a woman worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. Now, this is 2024 Mother's Day. And I would encourage all of you to read chapters 4 and 5 at least of Judges. Because of Deborah's obedience. By the way, Deborah means honeybee. That produces sweetness. Produces something, Debbie, that others... They don't use it just for themselves. They use it for others. Because of her obedience to the voice of God, for 40 years, the Israelites were delivered from bondage and they lived in peace. And when Deborah looks back in chapter 5 at the great victory that God had orchestrated, she was praising God with Barak about the hand of the deliverance of God's people and the Israelites. Verse 2 says of chapter 5, when Israel's leaders took charge, the people gladly followed. Women, we are leaders. We are leaders with our lives. When she stood up, when she arose, and when her and Barak went out to battle. See, the turning point was the moment things began to change was when she stood up. Do you know, women, that you have the ability today when you arise in Christ, when you arise in God knowing who you are, you have the ability to stand up and bring change to your home. You stand up and say, I'm going to fight for my kids. You get on your knees. How do you stand up? We start on our face. We stand up with our prayer life. We stand up reading the Word of God. So that it can produce what we need inside of us to be what God's called us to be. Deborah had a hearing ear. We have to learn how to hear the voice of God. When we cry out, He answers us. And we have to answer the call. We have to rise up. God will give us a word. And we have to be familiar enough with His word to know His voice. Or familiar enough to His voice. Deborah was familiar because she spent time in His presence. She delighted Him. She knew there was an enemy, but she chose to rise up. Remember the song we sung when we first started a while ago? The mountain. We see mountains. We're not ignoring facts. We're not ignoring that something's not going on in our physical body or in our job or in our home or with our children. We're not ignoring the facts. But if we're not careful, we ignore what God says. And we choose to live with the mountain in front of us. God is causing us to rise up, and I'm asking you to rise up. Would you stand to your feet this morning? We've got to run into action. We can't play it safe anymore. We have to have courage. We have to choose to rise up as a mother in the house of God. Deborah chose a mother in Israel. In Hebrew, it's spelled Shakamti. S-H-A-K-A-M-T-I. That's the Hebrew word of it. A mother in Israel. Which means healing and mending. Women, we know how to bring healing with kindness and love. We know how. And God says, I want you to rise up. Because it's a beautiful description of women who answer the call. Each of us are chosen to serve. And we are equipped, and God's asking us to rise up today. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for these beautiful women. I thank you for these warriors. I thank you for these mothers of Israel. And God, I thank you. If there's anybody here that feels like they don't deserve to be in your hall of fame, then God, I pray that they will understand how much you love them and how much you love the women. With an evil background, you still love them.